Please turn with me in God's Word to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41, we're going through the life of Joseph, and we've been thinking in the last number of weeks, really the section of his exaltation, his humiliation ended, and we've been thinking about his ascent to the throne, and so we'll look at that again this afternoon. Genesis chapter 41, reading verse 40 down to verse 44. Pharaoh speaking to Joseph, "Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot, which he had. And they cried before him, "Bow the knee." And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. As I said, we're thinking of Joseph being set over Egypt, and God willing, next time we'll think of the name that he was given, and then the wife that he was given, and the children from that, and all again wonderful pictures in the gospel. But with God's word open before us, we'll unite together and seek the Lord in prayer. And as I said, if you do need to open up a window or anything, or open up a door if you're a bit stuffy, let us know. Heavenly Father, eternal God, we pray you'll bless us, you'll give us help this time. We ask of thee, O God, that as we come to the ministry of the word, we thank thee for the lessons and truths and practical lessons that we've learned in the life of Joseph. But above all, we thank thee for the times we've been able to draw straight to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, Lord, the Bible is all about thy beloved Son. We thank thee even when Christ expounded the scriptures, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And therefore, Lord, we pray that as we seek to open up the word of God, we pray thy spirit will come and enlighten our hearts, we ask of thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 41, verse 40, and onwards opens up a new section in the life of Joseph. His humiliation consisting of his sufferings and his sorrows, and we've noted that really from chapter 37, has now ended and his exaltation begun. Pharaoh has exalted Joseph, as we read in verses 40 to 41, "Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." Joseph was positioned on the throne, and it was from the throne he would rule by his word. Joseph's responsibility, his rule, and his right over the people and the land belonged to his exalted position over the kingdom given by Pharaoh. It belonged to no other. Joseph was the one chosen as the protector, the provider, and the preserver of those given into his hand. And again, we learned of a wonderful lesson of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who has the responsibility, the right to reign over the lives of all his people. He is positioned upon a throne of glory and power, and he rules by his word, and there's wonderful applications we made from that. Then Joseph, in verse 42, we learned last time, he was presented with the ring that symbolized his authority in office, then robes that symbolized his appointment to office, and then the gold chain that symbolized the accomplishment in his office. Joseph was chosen as he could not fail. And as we see in the next number of chapters, Joseph did not fail. He provided for all who came unto him. And so Joseph's life points or as a picture to the Lord Jesus Christ. For Christ is the head of his church, positioned on a throne of power and a throne of glory, seated at God's right hand, clothed in majesty, and he rules by the power, the authority of his word. Christ did not fail to save sinners who had been given into his hand, all who have come to him and yet to come to him have been chosen from the foundation of the world. They make up his jewels, and they will be saved from eternal wrath. None will be lost who come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that ought to give you encouragement today, child of God, because you have come to him, and you are not holding on to him. He is holding on to you, and you will never perish. You will never be lost. And because you've been brought by him, you've been saved by him, because you've been given into his hand, he is your provider, your protector, your preserver in life and at death. He has saved you from the wrath of God. And as citizens of his eternal kingdom, he rules in our life. And whatsoever he saith unto us must be done. We must not only be hearers of his word, but also doers of his word. We must trust and obey. Give honour due to his name. Exalt his name. Because obedience to God's word will always bring blessing to God's work. Not only on a congregational setting, but also on an individual blessing. You obey his precepts, and he will bless your path. You honour his law, and he will honour your life and your labour. And so there's wonderful lessons that we learn. Joseph was set upon the throne, and he ruled over the people by his word. And so our Saviour rules and reigns, and he directs us, he rules us by his word. That's why we must be in the word of God. Remember, there's a famine coming to Egypt, and therefore the people, they must listen to Joseph's words, because Joseph has the message from God what needs to be done in order to be preserved, protected, spared from death by this famine. And if they believe his word and hold on to his word and obey his word, they will be spared from that famine. And so it is, child of God, we who have come in faith and obedience to the word of God, we have taken God at his word. When he said, ye must be born again. When he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We stood out on the promise of his word, and we've been saved from wrath to come. That's why Solomon said in instructing his son in Proverbs 3 verse 1 and 2, my son, forget not my law, but keep it, keep my commandments for the length of days, and long life and peace shall they add to thee. So having looked at Joseph's position and Joseph's presentations, notice today Joseph's power, verse 43. He made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. What was a chariot? Well, today you may know the phrase, the horse and the cart, something maybe similar, but not exactly the same. But the chariot was a wooden vehicle generally used for warlike purposes or also peaceful purposes. This wooden cart, this beam was attached to the horse's harness. And as the horse ran forward, the one in the chariot holding the reins was paraded around. So the chariot, it spoke of power. It spoke of authority. It spoke of a great company. And as Pharaoh goes out and rides in the first chariot, Joseph, he rides in the second chariot. And a great company followed Joseph, and they followed because of his position as ruler of the land. Now, throughout scripture, there are many, many ways that this chariot is used, as we said. Genesis 41, verse 33, as we've read, is the first mention. But also Genesis 46, 29, Joseph went to meet his father in a chariot. We learn that chariots form part of the funeral procession for Jacob in Genesis 50, verse 9. Exodus 14, verse 7. Whenever Pharaoh pursued the children of Israel, he came in his warlike chariots. We learn 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 26, Solomon's chariots that were brought out from Egypt. And so many more things we could say, many more references we could give in the Bible. But the point is this, during Joseph's exaltation and being presented with robes, a ring, a golden chain, he now rides in the second chariot. And that is describing and symbolizing, here is a man of power in the land of Egypt. Here is a man of war, a mighty man of valor, a defender of the people. For he now will rule over Pharaoh's army. The whole kingdom has been given into his hand. Joseph rules with a great company behind him. He is now set forth as one who will lead the people into victory. He is the one who will do all that needs to be done to spare the people from this famine. And all will enjoy that victory as they hold on and obey the word of Joseph as he rules them by his word. Joseph commanded Pharaoh's army, a great host of people. And so this chariot demonstrated complete power over the people of the land. Not only power to govern them, but power and strength to conquer on their behalf. You see, the people of the land, they had no power, no strength to save themselves from this famine that was coming. They were without hope and they were in great need. But God has given Joseph favor. He has raised him up for such a time as this. He has providentially led Joseph to this time. He is the man chosen out from among the people to give deliverance. And he now rides in the second chariot to show his ability, his power, his strength, as he rides in this chariot with his ring, his vestures, his chain. It shows one of power, one of honor, and one of glory. Here's one who's strong. Here's one who's mighty. Here's one going forth to conquer. Here's one who will not fail in this time when famine comes. So as we think of Joseph, we're taken to a stronger one. We're taken to a greater one. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation. Christ is our man of war, our defender, our stronghold, our strong tower, our fortress, our conqueror. Through him there's victory from the wrath of God. His life, his blood, his exaltation has guaranteed the deliverance of his people. Because Christ can never be defeated. Christ can never be dethroned. He is the wisdom of God, and he rules in the power of God. Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. When the Lord Jesus, the sovereign King, he returns, he will do in great power and in great glory. But when he comes, during the great parade of his coming, he will not return alone. He will come on his horse. Revelation 19, verse 7, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. And he does not ride alone, because he is accompanied with a great host of people. Revelation 19, verse 14, the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white unclean. And likewise, believer, we will not be left out, because Scripture teaches us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, we which are alive and remain, that is, when we remain on earth as the Lord comes back, we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall be forever with the Lord. The whole point is this. Christ, through Christ, because of Christ, by Christ, his exaltation, he has secured victory for his people. He has delivered us from wrath to come. That's why Paul could say in Romans chapter 8 verses 37 to 39, that nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We're kept by the power of God. All who have fled to him for refuge will be safe and secure. What a wonderful Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look forward to the day of his coming, just as symbolized here, as Joseph is in this chariot. And as he leaves and goes round, and the people are praising, and they're glorifying, and they're worshipping him. Because this is the message shown to the people. As Joseph rides throughout the land in the chariot, the famine is coming. But here's one they look to who will conquer, who will defeat this famine. Here's one who will save all, for he will give bread to those in need. And none will perish who go to him. And what a blessed assurance that is for you, child of God. You have power to live for Christ on earth. Power to be kept by Christ through life. A power to be with Christ in eternity. The victory over death, destruction, victory is already, the victory over death and destruction has already been won. As we follow him, we enter into that victory. Because here's the point. In Joseph's day, the people's victory will depend and rest upon Joseph, because he's been the one chosen. He's been the one exalted. He's been the one who will save the people. He's the one who will do all that needs to be done to save through this famine. And therefore, our salvation, our deliverance, it rests upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who has done all that needed to be done for our eternal redemption. In Christ, we can never perish. In Christ, we will never be lost. But in Christ, we have all we need for life and eternity. But unsaved one, you remain without power. You remain strengthless in weakness. You remain under the wrath of God, condemned, ready to perish in the wrath of God for all eternity. Do you understand that, sinner, today? God's wrath is a day of wrath approaching, a day when Christ will come back and he will separate the saved from the unsaved, the saved and the lost, a great day of separation. And that day of separation will be your eternal destruction, if not then, before, because it's appointed unto men once to die. And if you die in your sin, you will enter into eternal damnation. But hallelujah, life is offered unto you in the gospel. There's power in the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of all your sin. Just as in Joseph's day, the people's hope rested, depended upon Joseph. So the hope today depends on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the hope of glory. And I'm glad, just as we will learn, Joseph did the work. He provided for the people. So Christ is our provision. And he's provided by his life, his death, his resurrection, all that we need for the accomplishment of redemption and the application of that redemption to our very lives. I say to you, go to him for forgiveness. Go to him for acceptance. But notice finally, there is Joseph's proclamation. Joseph is exalted far above all in the land of Egypt. He rides in the second chariot with all that glorious meaning, the ring, the robes, and the gold chain. And as he's paraded in this chariot, notice verse 43, they cried before him, bow the knee. And so this is a parade of reverence, honor, glory for Joseph. They recognize Joseph is the one worthy to receive all glory and honor and praise. He is now the ruler over the land. He has been exalted as the provider, the deliverer. And so they bow the knee. That phrase, bow the knee, while it does give the action of bowing down, yet it means to make way. One commentator said, this phrase is still used in Arab countries today. You can hear it in the street. Make way, make way. It indicates someone is coming through. It gives the idea of all attention upon that person. Now, we may say, for instance, if there's a crowd of people there in the hallway speaking, you want to get past. You don't just bang into everybody and hope you don't do that anyway. You don't just crash into everybody and say, well, you should have moved. No. What do? You say, excuse me. Or you may say, can I get through? Or I'm coming past. Or we could put it in the practice and say, have some at the door. Make way, make way. Someone's coming through. But the point is this here. It was to show someone is coming. Someone is on their way. Someone is passing by. And who was that? Joseph was passing by. He was coming through in his chariot, clothed in vestures, with his gold chain, his golden ring. And the people bow the knee to make way for him. All focus is to be upon Joseph. It's the same, isn't it, with royal events in our own land. You think of when King Charles III will be crowned. On the day when he gets crowned, on the people on the streets as they line up, the stewards, the organisers, there will be a way made for the king to pass by. Everybody will not be crowding on the mall or Buckingham. I never remember if it was called the Mall or the Mall. That was getting mixed up, but it's on the Mall. There you go, Mall. Happy days. Mall and Buckingham Palace. They'll not all be crowded on. There'll be a way made, make way for the king. You think in times gone by, in the life and times of Queen Elizabeth II, you think of the time during her enthronement when people lined the streets on either side. Why? Because the ruler was passing by. She was going through the streets of London to her palace. And as they stepped aside, they made way for the passing monarch. They made way for the ruler. And as she passed by, all eyes were upon her. And so it is when Joseph is passing by, they make way because all eyes is focused upon Joseph, who he is, clothed in his garments of majesty, knowing here's one who is our provider. Here's one who will do what we need to be done for us in this famine. And so again, we're drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ, seated at God's right hand, one who is magnified, worshipped above all. Revelation chapter 4, verses 4 through 11, and chapter 5, verse 11 through 12 proclaims, the angels of heaven, they exalt him. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, 7 through chapter 7 through 9 through 10, and chapter 22, verse 3, proclaims the saints in glory, exalt him. And so here we have the King of glory exalted on high. However, at present, Christ is not recognized as the great King over the earth. Rather, Psalm 2 tells us, the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing against the Christ of God. They speak against him. Even the prophecy of spoken to Mary, that this child will be a sign that is spoken against, not only in his life and death, but even now, Christ is spoken against. John chapter 5, verse 23, that all men should honour the Son, even as they honour the Father. For he that honoureth not the Son, honoureth not the Father, which has sent him. Oh, there will be a future day when Christ the King will be recognized by all as the King. And on that day, they will make way for the King. On that day, they will bow the knee. They will make day, and every eye will be centered upon him in that glorious parade that comes from heaven. When he comes, hallelujah, with 10,000s of his saints with him. And he comes in glory, and he comes in power. And we learn Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And at that name, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh, there's a coming day when heaven and earth will bow together. The four corners of the earth, north, south, east, and west, will bow the knee. The rich and the poor will bow the knee. Every king, queen, monarch, every prime minister, every president, every dictator, every general will bow the knee. Just as the way was made for them, so, likewise, the way will be made for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There will be no hindrance. There will be no obstruction. When the King comes back, he will be exalted high, the Savior of his people. But maybe there's one now, like the hardened Pharaoh of Exodus, which says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" Oh, I urge you this day, men and women, obey his voice. Because the end of those who do not obey his voice, who do not obey his gospel, is eternal destruction, eternal darkness. And I urge you this day, believe the gospel. Step out on the promise of the word of God and be saved. Believer, continue to learn from the wise men example in Matthew chapter 2, who came to worship him. And as they presented themselves first to him, they then give their gifts on to him. And so, believer, day by day until his coming, give your best to him. Keep worshipping him. Have that high and holy view of your Savior. Crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Crown him the Lord of your life, the Lamb upon his throne, day by day. Make way for the King in your life. I know you have a busy schedule. Work long hours. School. So many things. Day by day in your life, make way for the King. Spend time where you can have your eyes focused upon him for a time. Are you making way for the King? Or are there distractions? Protests. Well, I urge you, make way for the King in your life. Guard those times of prayer. Guard those Sundays to spend in God's house. Make way for the King, because he's the one who is worthy of your honor and glory and praise. He's the one who has done all for you to glorify and praise him. Joseph, as we've looked at these three messages in this section, he was set over the land of Egypt. And I said, we've looked at those four points in the last number of weeks: his position, his presentations, his power, and also today, and also then we've looked at his proclamation. Next week, God willing, we'll then look at the name that was given to him. This name that has such another meaning in the gospel. And one of the names, just one of the names, means the Savior of the world. And other names as well. And so we see the whole thing pictured. He is the Savior of his people. Therefore, make way for the King in your life. Are you crowning him? Are you worshipping him? Are you spending time with him day by day, for his name's sake. Amen.